So good evening, everyone. This is January 26, 2012. This is the Global Village Program Fundraising Training Call Series, the third call in the series. The topic is Crafting Your Appeal Letter. What we will cover today includes learning the main parts of a good fundraising appeal letter, becoming inspired and encouraged to write your letter, developing a plan for how to distribute your letter and to whom. And we have a guest speaker who's going to share, but then we are really looking forward to hearing all of you share your best practices to inspire us. So, this call is primarily about taking your passion and inspiration for Global Village and turning it into a story and a way to make it easy and compelling for others to get involved. So I think about all the trips that I've led are special, but there was one trip where I really did a good job of recruiting a range of participants. So we had a 19-year-old, an 87-year-old, and about everything in between. And that, for me, was a particularly special opportunity to really see lots of different people coming together from different parts of their lives working towards a common goal. So I'll always remember that trip. And we invited today Katie Evans to share a little bit about her recent trip and how she used appeal letters in her fundraising.
So, hi, everyone.
Hello.
As Allison said, my name is Katie Evans, and I work here in the Habitat International office in Americus, Georgia. And I did recently complete a Global Village trip to Nepal, and so I'm going to kind of touch on the highlights of how I went about fundraising for this trip. 1.6 billion people across the world are living in substandard housing. Oftentimes, this means a lack of electricity and running water. Dwellings may not even have a toilet. Families cram into their makeshift shelters, leaving open the possibility for damage from weather conditions or the spread of disease from the unsafe living conditions. If you had the tools to do something to help a family write a new chapter in their life, what would you choose to build? This narration was part of a message I scripted for a video that I shared with family, friends, and acquaintances before my GV trip to Nepal this past October. I will touch more on the idea of the video in a bit, but wanted to begin with this because it highlights the keys of an appeal message. In the message you share with potential donors, you want to work to engage your audience. You want them to invest in your journey. As people become more engaged, the chances that they will decide to make a contribution are going to increase. Inspire your donors to not only invest financially, but emotionally. Help them feel like they are owning a piece of this trip. I joined the Nepal trip as a participant very late in the process, approximately 7 weeks before the trip departure. And it was just over 3 weeks before the trip began that I sent out my main email blast to my family, friends, and acquaintances detailing my fundraising goal. In these few short weeks, I garnered a total of 43 donations and matching gifts, totaling approximately $2,400. Imagine how much that number could have increased by had I joined this trip months in advance. The main message of my fundraising goal was sent out by email, though a letter certainly would have worked just as well. Not only did I elect to send the email to family and friends, but to acquaintances, former colleagues, and to my parents' coworkers. Keep in mind that you can't get results if you don't ask. Once I had accumulated a list of people I was going to send the email to, I broke up the names into three distribution lists: family and relatives, friends I communicate with regularly, and acquaintances, including those who may know me only through my parents. I changed the introduction to each email blast to reflect the audience of each list. For example, in the email to acquaintances, I explained that I had moved to Americus, Georgia in February of last year to begin working with Habitat International, whereas my family and friends knew this and I could take this opportunity to update them on how life has been since my move. By targeting your distribution list, it is likely you will improve your response rate, which in turn may increase the likelihood of donations. Next, I summarized the build and the work I was expecting my teammates and I to accomplish. In the email, I stated when the trip was, how long the build was slated to be, and how many homes the team would be working on. You may also want to include details about why the project is taking place in the location and or the country you will be traveling to. And this is information you can find in the trip description provided to you in your orientation packet. At this point, you will want to introduce your fundraising goal. Explain that you would like to accomplish more than what has been set out for the team, and that the money you are hoping to raise will go towards the building program of the country you will be traveling to. Offer creative suggestions for making donations. You can ask your team leader to get information on how much a window, door, roof, etc. would cost for a house. Then suggest these individual costs as donation amounts. Another idea would be to ask for monetary donations as opposed to gifts you may normally receive for your birthday, Christmas, graduation, or other celebrations. Talk about how this build will be meeting needs, not about how it has needs. Think about how John F. Kennedy introduced the challenge of going into space. He didn't say we need X amount of dollars to go into space, but rather said that we need to put a man on the moon for these reasons. Share with others that the impact they will be making with their contribution will be one that is long-lasting, because it is true. A new or renovated home helps create a new beginning for a family. It creates opportunities for better health, better security, and better education. And these are all factors that will lead to a better future. In this part of your message, I would also suggest you ask for prayers and well wishes for your team. Again, you want to try to encourage your recipients to become invested in this journey, and not just financially. Consider sharing pictures or videos with your appeal. In my email, I provided a YouTube link to a brief video I produced to further explain the needs my teammates and I would be meeting during our project. Including multimedia can help enhance your appeal. It brings life to your message, and some people respond more to visuals. Videos also offer the chance to dive deeper into the purpose of the work and your reasons for wanting to be part of this journey. And if making a video isn't something you feel you have the time or resources to do, search the participant resources available on the GV website for videos produced about Habitat and our mission. In your letters or emails, give specific instructions on how people can make a donation. Provide the link to your share.habitat page. You want to be effective in making it easy for people to donate, and share.habitat does that. Plus, it is a great resource to share with those who may be interested in following the progression of your trip. Also share with your recipients how they can make donations by phone or mail, as there are still some people who do not use the internet, or let them know you can provide this information to them. You want to take out any guesswork for your donors. Make sure to send personal thank you notes as you receive donations. Every donation, no matter the amount, is significant, and you want to make sure you convey this message to the donor. Additionally, it is equally important to send an additional message to your donors at the conclusion of the build. Again, you want to make sure donors know you greatly value their contribution. Provide an update on the work that was done and a response from the family or families you helped. If possible, try to include some photos or videos. Donors will appreciate seeing your sincerity about the project and the type of help they are providing. And don't let the end of the build stop you. Follow up with a post-trip email to your contacts and updates on your social networking sites. Or, like I did, write an article about your experience and submit it along with a few photos to your local newspaper. These trips tend to be memorable experiences, whether it is your first trip or your sixth or your 20th. You can usually find a moment from your trip to highlight. Share that story. What did it mean to you? How did it affect others who were involved? Do this and be descriptive in your storytelling. Stories offer the possibility of bringing participants and non-participants together and serve as inspiration. It may not sway people to donate in that moment. However, if they know how sincere and grateful you are for having been blessed with this experience, it will make the decision to donate for a future trip an easier choice. Note, though, that your fundraising effort is not about you. It is about your stand for a certain cause. Think about what your passion is and make that the center of your message you share with others. And I want to conclude by sharing the first and last parts of the article I wrote about my experience in Nepal. Again, find a touching moment from your trip and describe it. You don't need to use fancy wording to make it meaningful. Just let the moment speak for itself. Before the ribbon could be cut and before the door to the house could be unlocked, there were words of thanks to share. Standing outside the tiny house were 18 volunteers who traveled to Nepal from the United States, Canada, and Germany. Raja Ram Daru and his wife and three children were there. So was his mother. So were other residents of the tiny village. Through the assistance of a translator, I said to Raja and his family, on behalf of the members of our Habitat team who worked on this house, thank you for welcoming us here and for all the kindness you have shown us. Thank you for allowing us to work alongside you on your house and for your patience as we learned new construction skills. Every so often, there are moments where you know your life has been changed. For us, this experience in being able to meet and work with you for the past week and a half has been one of those moments. I took a breath to continue giving thanks, but I held back my words when I heard Raja begin to speak. A few words in, the culmination of the project caught up to him. He broke away from what seemed to be the social norm among Nepali adults to show little emotion. Once his voice cracked, the tears began flowing. I am so thankful for you all that you would choose to come here and help us, Raja said. I don't want you to leave. My heart is heavy, knowing that I won't see you tomorrow. Raja's words were translated into English for us, but it wasn't necessary. Throughout the previous 10 days, my teammates and I had learned how to communicate with the members of this village, located near Tikapur in western Nepal, though we only understood a few simple words from one another's languages. A translator wasn't necessary in that moment because we knew the emotion coming from the words Raja was speaking. We felt it too. I ended the article with, there are moments in life where you experience something that changes you, something that sticks with you forever. When Raja broke away from being stoic and began to cry while speaking at the dedication of his house, I could feel the moment being etched onto my heart, where I expect it to remain forever. As is often the case with Habitat Global Village builds, the trip to Nepal became much more than people building homes for less fortunate people. It became about building relationships with people who may speak a different language. It became about building hope for another family and another community. And ultimately, it became about getting as much in return as we gave to our host. So thank you for letting me share my story, and I think now we'll open up for questions and answers or any discussions on the topic that you guys have.
Thank you for sharing, and this is Margie from Naples, and I've been I'm a retired land use attorney, and I've pretty much been a full-time land use attorney volunteer at our local affiliate, so I understand how, what should I say, touching it is and how life-changing it is to know that you're helping people. I just went to the Planning Commission today to fight for Habitat, so I can just so appreciate that and want to expand to the, you know, global aspect of it. And so I think my local Habitat experience, you know, can help me with that. And one of the things I thought about doing at my church, Habitat is a one of our missions, and I thought, I've got to talk to the pastor, but we have a huge church of several thousand members, of going there to, you know, to fundraise.
Certainly.
So I, you know, I don't know if anybody's done that or not. And then, you know, we have also some Bible study groups at my church, and I thought, you know, we do funding for other things, and I thought, you know, appeal to them and so on. And I haven't done this before, so I'm, you know, I really don't know how to do it that much or how much your goal should be or anything, you know, so.
Great.
I know we have some experienced team leaders, I think, on the call. Does anyone have suggestions on, you know, if they've done fundraising events at a church or other sort of community organization before?
This is Diane. I have not done fundraising at my church, but my church has contributed fairly small amounts because we've only got like 30 members.
Uh-huh.
But at the end, after the build, we set up a potluck dinner. And I try to make some kind of a dish that's kind of indigenous to whatever country I went to.
Oh, yeah.
And then show, cut down the number of pictures I've taken and show, slides that won't take more than like a half an hour. And any souvenirs I might have brought back with. I usually put a map up that shows where I went.
No, that sounds like a good idea.
Like to look at, too.
Well, is everybody on this call going to different places, or is this a Jordan trip, or is this everything?
Everything.
This call is open to anyone who was interested in learning about appeal letters related to fundraising.
Katie, I think that's a great idea. I never even thought of that, about getting what the costs are and letting people like feel like they bought a door or a window or a roof. That's awesome. I'm going to talk to Sharon tomorrow because that's like a great idea, because people like to get something that feels like really concrete.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our local affiliate just did that with a fundraiser we had locally, and they put $75 for a window, and, broke it down to a box of nails all the way up to a whole house. So I could use the example that they used in their brochure, perhaps, to do it that way.
Yeah, I think any efforts you make where you kind of just put a human touch on the donation is going to greatly increase your efforts and your rewards.
And I guess, need to find out what those things cost in that country, I guess, right? So we know how much to put.
Go ahead.
Yeah, how much to put for what a door would cost in the country that you're going to.
Yep, team leaders can certainly ask their engagement specialist, and that is information that should be able to be provided to them.
Okay.
Katie, I've got a question for you. This is Stacy in Baltimore. And when you sent your appeal, you mentioned you did it via email. Did you, in addition to changing that introductory paragraph, did you send the text in the body of an email, or was it an attachment? And then did you just include the link for the donation in addition to maybe giving the other? And I'm just curious as to, how many, it sounds like a lot of people responded to your email appeal.
Mm-hmm.
I just wondered if you could just, highlight that a little bit.
Certainly. And what I did was just put the message in the body of the email, and in the subject line I put Katie Evans's trip to Nepal, so people would see that it is my name and that, the email will provide kind of an interesting story about why I'm going to Nepal and why Nepal. And in the email, then, I did include just a link to the YouTube video that I made and a link to the fundraising webpage.
To your shared webpage?
Yeah, at the time, we were still using the old versions of the webpage. But,
right.
And I did include then saying, follow this website and it will take you to more information on how, more information about the trip itself, and it will give you all the instructions on how you can make a donation. It certainly wouldn't hurt, I think, to format this as a letter as well, and you could attach that as a PDF, because sometimes emails, depending on the different versions used, do mess up with the formatting.
Right.
I have a question. How do you follow, or where do you go on the web to find out who has donated what to track what your donations are?
When you set up a share.habitat page, there will be kind of a little toolbar or
page?
Yep, on the web page that you set up, there will be a bar there, and it will show you the progress as you have made donations. So let's say you...
Okay.
Set a goal to raise $5,000 or $3,000, it'll show you as donations come in how close you are getting to that, and it'll show you the dollar amount.
Okay. I'll go back and look for it.
This is Carl in California. I got a question. I went to Haiti this past in November and did some fundraising for that. And my question is the Share.habitat the same software and same pages that that was used for the Haiti project?
No, I believe what was used for Haiti was an old version called We Are Habitat. This is a new system that we have, and it's share.habitat, and it's really kind of simplified and streamlined all the efforts for fundraising. And they have, you know, you can send emails straight from there. You can have things post straight to your Facebook, LinkedIn accounts, and all these hundreds of social networking sites. So it really has made the process of fundraising easier. It's a much more updated fundraising tool.
Okay, good. I was curious because I saw some definite deficiencies in the previous one.
Yes, I think share.habitat is a great step forward in our fundraising efforts.
Can it save posts and things? This is Lisa from DC. I talked to somebody in Americus about it, and they were saying that they weren't sure if it was going to have that yet, because it was a while ago we talked about it, that you could like post things almost like a blog. Can it do that?
Yep. On your page, you can, even, you know, as the trip is progressing, if you have internet service available, you can go onto your page and add videos, add photos. You can add sort of text as a blog, and that will all show on your page.
Cool, because I found for my past trip, having a blog really helped my donations a lot because people could go back and see pictures and stories from past trips, and I have a video from a dedication, and that helped a lot for people to be able to see things like that.
Certainly. That's great that you were already working on having a blog on your own and using that tool.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. Go ahead.
One of the things that I'm thinking about, since I'm at the local affiliate every day and I have my own office and there an email address, that seeing if on their page if they might put something about, you know, local affiliate volunteer to, you know, participate in Global Village trip to, and put a little detail about it and put it on the affiliate website and also, you know, and go that route, because I know so many of the volunteers from being there for, you know, 2.5 years and so on, and that might give even broader exposure. And I'll have to talk to them about it, but I don't see why they would have a problem with it.
Certainly. Does anyone else on the call have any other ideas of how they've distributed appeal letters or just their message about a trip before?
I can share from my standpoint, you know, on the Haiti trip, I sent out a personal message to both three different distribution lists, like was indicated earlier. One was family and close friends. The second was a distribution list from I've got probably 100 and some odd volunteers that have worked with the local affiliate here, mm-hmm. in my church, and friends, you know, that have gone out over the last 10 years with us and things that I've led here locally. I sent to them, slightly modifying the message, and then there was a broader list of people that came from business colleagues and a lot of friends and stuff off my LinkedIn page and so on and so forth. And then, you know, and then each time anybody donated, you know, I sent them a personal message. And then after the trip, I sent a summary with links. And in every case, we're using a lot of the links off of the, you know, the Habitat website, you know, pictures off that website and stuff that were associated with the Carter Project in Haiti. Is that the way I did it?
And the important thing to remember, again, when you're trying to fundraise is that you can't expect to get any results unless you ask. And, you know, certainly not everyone may say yes, but, you know, that you don't need to take that personally. It may just be, you know, a bad time for them to donate at the moment. But keep asking, you know, for future trips. You know, certainly situations may change or, you know, people may see that this is a cause that is really important to you and will want to donate in the future. So just stay positive about the fundraising process. And I think, you know, you'll come to see that there are a lot of people who are committed to helping this cause and helping you. And also, I know another idea.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that's really an important point because I've had people that I barely know donate to me because Habitat's so important to them. And
right.
I happened to ask them when they were going to donate to Habitat anyway, and they were like, okay, you know, I'll put it towards the trip. And so it was just good timing for me to ask them. And it never would have really occurred to me to ask them, but I had posted on Twitter or Facebook and they saw it and were like, okay, I'll donate. So yeah, ask everybody.
I got $400 from a guy that I, you know, a longtime friend, but I hadn't seen him for a long time. I ran into him in Costco, and we chatted a little bit. I told him what I was going to do, and a week later, I got a $400 donation from him.
Oh, that's good.
That's incredible.
Yeah, I've already got a promise of $25 from somebody already.
And another way that I've heard of people thanking their donors at the conclusion of a trip is if you did take photos or if, you know, one of your teammates took photos, maybe of the house or of the local people that you were working alongside or the children, there are websites where you can go to and get that picture turned into a postcard. And then on the back of that, they would write a personal thank you note again to the donors. And it was just, again, more kind of a personal touch, having a picture from the trip sent with that as opposed to maybe a postcard or a normal thank you card, which certainly are great things to do if, you know, it's not an option to make a postcard. That's not something you have to do, but that is another creative way we've heard of people thanking donors.
So we mentioned earlier that being able to articulate your passion to to people that are within your network is really key to this,
uh-huh.
And it should be at the heart of your letter or your appeal. So we recommend that you take some time to think about that. Where does your passion come from? Why did you decide to take this trip? Why are you saying yes to the DV challenge? And we'd like just to give you the opportunity to share with us what are some of the inspiring stories that you would include in your letter. Does anyone have an example of a story that they know they're going to use when they're writing their appeal?
I don't know if I'm going to use this or not because I've selected Jordan. But when I first started volunteering at Habitat, I read the whole story about Millard Fuller and how he came to start Habitat, and that he had already made a bunch of money in college, and he had graduated from law school and was practicing law, but he and his wife weren't real happy, and he remembered the lesson that Jesus gave to the rich man, and I did a little research on that, and I just got back from Israel in October. And it so happens that message was given in Jordan. So that's one of the reasons I want to go to Jordan. I mean, I want to go and help somebody, but the reason I picked Jordan was, to me, that's sort of coming full circle, because that's where the impetus really started for Habitat, 2,000 years and some ago. And to me, to go back to that country and help a poor person, to come full circle.
That's a really excellent example, and that the story you mentioned of Miller and sort of how Habitat came about is super inspiring. I mean, that's why a lot of people have gotten engaged and stayed engaged. So that's a really great place to start.
And one of the things I want to do someday, and of course I have assumed that Habitat has some sort of connection with the Jordanian government, or it wouldn't be there, but one thing I want to do, or my estate to do someday, is donate money to put a little plaque in Jordan on that approximate spot that just tells a little bit of the story and has the Habitat logo on it. And I think I pretty much kind of saw generally where it is. It's right on the other side of the Jordan River, just a little bit, above the road where you turn to go to Jerusalem. And we could look over the Jordan River and actually see into Jordan. So, I have to do a little more research, but I think I have an approximate idea where the spot is. And that's something I really want to do because, to me, it's come full circle.
Other examples of inspiring stories that you might include in your appeal letter? Katie used an example in her piece that really helped give people something tangible to think about so they could become part of the process, so that we've already discussed the idea of letting people buy a brick or a window so they can kind of really connect what they're giving to what's going to be happening on the trip. And we've collected a number of other examples like that from team members. So one example is the Sponsor Me project, where you create an average donation per day sponsorship. So saying like, it's going to cost me, my goal is $5,000, my trip is 10 days, and I'm looking for people to sponsor me each day at $500 a day, or, for a morning for $250. So kind of breaking it down to give people an idea of how much you need to meet your goal. Has anyone done anything like that? Another idea along the same lines as the buy a brick idea is to find out how much it costs to build a house in the region that you're visiting.
Right.
In some countries, an additional house could cost as little as $1,000 to build. In some locations, it could cost $25,000 or more, but you can set a goal based on a number of additional houses you'd like to build and craft your message around that goal, and then that also gives people, a real connection to help you. It's not just an amount of money that you're looking to raise, but it's a house that a family is going to live in. Has anyone worked around that kind of appeal?
One of my team members did, and she found it very successful.
Do you know how much the house cost?
Three houses. I just remember that they said it was three houses, but I don't remember how much it was.
Yeah, I know. I've worked with a number of teams that have been really successful doing that, and that's something that you can do as a team also.
Mm-hmm.
Not just that, so an individual might find it difficult to raise the $25,000 for an additional house, but a team together could work towards it more easily.
And that's what I did with my email that I sent out. I specifically stated a goal saying I want to raise $2,000, which is what it costs to build a new habitat house in Nepal. And So it's really great. In the 3 weeks really before the trip, I had surpassed that goal. And so now here, I may be able to receive photos then from the GV coordinator in the future of saying, here's, pictures from a house dedication ceremony from the funds that, you and your donors had raised. And that's something that I could go back to my donors with it and, again, follow up saying, here's the family and here's the house that you helped provide. And if you can't get pictures, maybe stories or kind of information, a bio about the family that will be moving into the house. And just really sharing that with your donors, again, putting that human touch on it and engaging them in the story.
Yeah, although I think that was really, if you could know about the family and give the human touch, that really makes a big difference.
Another idea is some people call virtual team or building a home team. So you may have a lot of friends and family or even, just acquaintances that you run into in Costco that that aren't ready to take a trip like this or wouldn't be interested in it or aren't interested in international travel, but are interested in getting involved in Habitat in some way. And Katie mentioned, any appeal that you make even if your goal is fundraising, can also have the goal of awareness raising and making people aware of habitat opportunities in your local community, opportunities for advocacy helps us get further to our ultimate goal. So some teams will build a home team, so they'll give people the opportunity to be a part of the team without actually going on the trip. And that's where your blog posts and your pictures and your videos from during the trip come in. So you can share the experience with them. So a lot of times people might not give before your trip, but they might give when you come back also.
Mm-hmm.
So reminding people what you're doing, and especially when you come back and you can see the impact, but making people feel like they're a part of your team can also help encourage them to donate. Has anyone done anything like that? That I've heard a lot of groups that church groups use. So you can build at your affiliate or at your church a group that's praying for you, sending you encouragement messages while you're gone from home.
Oh yeah, our church that we do several mission trips to Haiti, and this outside of Habitat, and then I used to do some to Cuba, and I don't think, and we have a sister church in Cuba and also a sister church in Haiti. I think the Cuban ones have been curtailed. So I think, I'm hopeful that the church will be receptive to, my trip, and I don't know how they will since we do other ones, but I'm hopeful that they will, so.
Another idea is the alternative gift. Has anyone worked with an alternative gift? So that's where you ask for financial support instead of a material gift that you would traditionally get for, like, your birthday, Christmas, wedding. So people may say, we had a lady that was, she was turning 60. So she sent notes out to all her friends and said, I'm turning 60. Please support my trip with donations that are multiples of six. So people sent her $6, they sent her 60, they sent her 600. But I've done that really successfully around Christmas time. It depends on the timing of your trip and when you're fundraising. But that's often, people have a lot of success with it.
And kind of touching on that, and I know this is kind of a rare way to do it, and it's for weddings, instead of doing, the dollar dance with the bride and groom and the couple collecting that money and using it towards their home or a honeymoon, I've known couples that have taken that money then and have donated it to a Habitat, whether it's their trip that they take together or to someone else's trip.
And those are also awareness-raising opportunities. So people have, at their wedding or their anniversary event, like just little table tents that say, we support Habitat. Here's a little bit about it. Here's how you can get involved. So those are a number of ideas that we've collected over the years. Are there any other ideas that you on the phone have that we haven't touched on?
I had that person on my trip once that was having pictures taken of him holding a card that said thank you and named each person. So it was multiple pictures, picture with the site in the background or the house in the background, whatever it was.
Yeah, that's great. A good idea.
That's a really nice way to add a personal touch. I've also seen, had one person who did that same idea, but they were putting together they're pouring concrete. So they wrote thank you in the concrete before it was dry. So it's just kind of a neat picture.
Well, what else would be neat? To have a picture with your family and have them write in their native language thank you along with it. In English, and have the two together.
Yeah, that would be really powerful. These are great ideas. Keep them coming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm glad that you're bringing up the thank you, because that is really key. I mean, it's really important to make sure that you follow up with people and let them know what the result of their donation is, especially if you're going to ask them next year.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we have covered, and we've talked a lot today about resources that are available on the web, so I just wanted to make sure you have the information about how to get there. So hopefully everyone knows how to get to the Habitat.org website, www.habitat.org. You should be able to go under Get Involved and get to the GV site, which is the same place that you'll apply and your team members will apply.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So right there, instead of clicking on the trip schedule, there's a participant resources link on the left-hand menu.
Uh-huh.
And that's where you can get an electronic copy of the orientation manual and a number of the other resources available, one of which, there's a whole section actually on fundraising. And so one of the resources available there is an electronic fundraising guide.
Oh, okay.
Which walks you through some of the ideas that we've talked about today, as well as some additional ideas that have been, but today we are focusing on the letter writing, but the guide includes special event ideas and, lots of other things for you to think about as possibilities. So making sure your team members know where that guide is so they can download it and take the ideas will be great. Section of the website also includes the instructions for accessing share.habitat and setting up a profile. We talked about share.habitat as the as our new online site that connects you to social media and gives you the opportunity to send electronic appeals. And so you can find that there also. There's also a sample fundraising letter template, which you can download in Word and edit.
Uh-huh.
So we've kind of given you the tool to start off with, but then again, it's important that you take your personal story and customize it. So the fundraising handbook includes a checklist for writing your appeal letter. We strongly recommend that you use that checklist when writing your letter, just to make sure you don't leave out anything important. You don't want to send the letter and then remember, oh, I forgot to put the link on how to donate.
Right. Yeah.
And then we just wanted to talk a little bit about distributing your letter. So we have already covered share.habitat and how you can do that electronically. We wanted to just make the point that people who use online fundraising raise between 40 to 50% more than people who don't.
Yeah, I think online's the best.
And we're not advocating that it's the only way, of course. We have a number of people that use snail mail successfully, but it is a fact that that people raise more when they do it online. It's sometimes a little bit easier for people to donate online. You can also you can send reminders, because I think it was mentioned earlier that people will. This happens to me. I'll get a positive appeal letter from someone, and I'll think, oh, I really want to donate to them. And then I'll move on to the next email, and I'll completely forget. And the next week, I'll get another message, and I'll think, oh, I forgot to do that. I need to, and so sometimes three or four times before I actually take the action to give.
And I think, too, with snail mail, people just say, oh, some more junk mail and put it in the recycling thing or something, whereas with the email, and especially if it's like friends and relatives and people that you know, well, I just think people respond better to the email than they would to snail mail, because they just say, oh, another thing go in the junk mail, I'm putting recycling.
That's true. It's definitely true. But it's also possible that to think around this, people don't get as much personalized mail nowadays. I mean, people get tons of junk mail. So when they get a hand-addressed envelope from their friends, it's kind of exciting. So people have had good success with old-fashioned snail mail letters, and especially if you, you know, you can have your appeal letter that's kind of written and printed out, but then you should always include a handwritten note.
Yeah.
And enclose an envelope that's addressed to you, so it's easy for people to send a check back if they're going to send a check. But you can also give them the link to donate. So if you've taken a trip before, you'll know people can donate through share.habitat once you've set up your site, but they can also just go directly to the site and donate. So as long as they have your GV event code and participant number, which is very important to make sure that it, the donation gets connected to your trip and you'll be able to thank them, they can just donate online through the GV page.
Most people, I know, prefer to do stuff online. And let's see, just making a new participant. Okay.
Yeah, most people do, but I mentioned the 87-year-old lady who travels with me, she's not online at all. So every communication with her is, you know, so, I mean, and those are still people, you know, you might need to think about several different ways. And, Kate, you know, Katie mentioned that she made different lists of people.
Right.
You could have your, you know, your whole strategy around share.habitat and your email appeal, but then you might also have your list of non-tech people that need a different, you need to reach through a different avenue.
Yeah, and then I'm going to solicit some people personally to, like, what we call it, our Church of List Life and Faith Together group, and that'll we get together every couple of weeks. So it'll be easy to solicit there personally and so on, too. So.
Okay, so has anyone that's on the phone now already done a campaign like this and can tell us about their success other than Katie?
Mine wasn't as refined as Katie.
Okay.
So I'm going to redo mine.
What are the things that you're going to do differently?
I'm going to craft my appeal a little differently and try and break up my audiences a little bit better. The challenge I'm facing is that what I'm doing is a vulnerable population build. So while we're really impacting the way that they're going to live, it's not all cookies and ice cream when we're done. Because at the end of the day, there's still AIDS orphans living by themselves. We built a house for an 11-year-old and his 9-year-old sister. And they don't have an adult that lives in the house because they're AIDS orphans in Mozambique. So while we really changed their lives, we can't make everything better. So, you know, it's kind of, you don't want to make them feel bad. You want to make them feel bad, but not too bad. You want to spur them to action without making them feel like nothing's ever going to make it better. So it's kind of a fine line to walk there.
It is, definitely. But it is, it is definitely making a huge impact on the lives of those people. And I think that's what you need to focus on.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, again, you know, every little contribution, you know, no matter if it's the $400 or $25, whatever it is going to help. And as, you know, the idea came up earlier, maybe writing out on a piece of card, like, thank you, or having kids write out thank you in their language or whatnot, and you can show, you know, have a picture of them holding that. It's,
yeah,
you know, these little changes are going to mean a world to the people who are the recipients. And so if we can share that with others, you know, it may not, you know, this one trip that you go on may not end all of the, you know, housing crisis across the world without, you know, 1.6 billion people, but it is making a difference.
And the other thing is they're fully, obviously, because their kids are fully subsidized, so we need to pay for everything. So that's where, you know, what's the cost of a house really becomes important there, because we're paying for the whole cost of the house.
Any other thoughts around your letter campaign? Is everybody ready?
Yeah, I think so. I have to, you know, go on the site and think about it and make an outline. I'm going to express everything, but I feel ready to do it, even though I've never done it before.
Well, the next step is to write your letter. Ask a few close friends or family members to read it and comment on it. That'll help before you send it out. And figure out how you want to distribute it and make a list of who you want to send it to. Send your letter. And then don't get discouraged. If people don't respond to you, it doesn't mean usually that they don't support you. So don't get discouraged by that. And Millard Fuller always said he tried asking and not asking, and he always got more when he asked.
Uh-huh.
Keep that in mind. And good luck, guys. Again, we just have such a big thank you to all the work that you do. It makes such a big impact in reaching out like this, developing more supporters, greater awareness for Habitat and the work that we're doing to bring hope to people. We just really commend and thank you. For all of you, inspire us.
Well, thank you, and appreciate you sharing your thoughts and your time.
Thank you, and have a good evening.
Thank you. You
too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.